A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Well, hey there, listeners. Where to begin? Here are 15 words that make me so joyously happy, I almost can't believe I'm saying them. Joining me on a brand new episode of The Emma Gunn Show is Michelle Visage. Regular listeners of the show will know that in my Ask Me Anything episode a few months ago, I was asked who my dream guests are. And Michelle, who is a judge on the Emmy-winning show RuPaul's Drag Race, was most definitely one of them. So after months and months of trying to make this happen, I was beyond thrilled to find myself sitting across from Michelle last bank holiday Monday on a sweltering day in London, chatting to her for just over an hour for an episode of the podcast. Now, I've got to be really honest. I've been interviewing celebrities now for over 15 years, and if you have any kind of emotional attachment, meaning if you're a fan of somebody, you have to be prepared going into that interview that it might not be the fantasy immediate best friend situation that you dream it'll be. I've gone into interviews before as a total mega fan, and the experience has been so flat or a bit uncomfortable, their schedule's been tight, so they've been a bit rushed, that you find yourself not being able to listen to their music, watch their movies or TV shows, or read their books in the same way ever again. And by the way, that doesn't mean anyone did anything wrong. It's just chemistry on the day and that kind of thing. It's kind of a luck of the draw. So despite trying for over a year to get time with Michelle, I was a bag of sweaty nerves just before the interview because she had a lot to live up to and she hadn't asked to be put on the pedestal that I've put her on. So, listeners, I'm relieved and happy to report she was perfection. She was open, she was fun, and as you'll hear, she was unedited and honest. And if you're a regular listener, you'll know that's when the magic happens. One of the many reasons I wanted to speak to Michelle is because on her podcast with RuPaul, she often talks about beauty products, from the natural deodorant she uses because she wants aluminium-free products, or the diet protocol she's on to manage her autoimmune disease. I was really drawn to the fact that she's obviously very inquisitive about beauty products in a way that I've had to be as a beauty editor, writing about products, ingredients and that kind of thing for magazines. So I was confident we would have a really good, solid, strong beauty chat. And in fact, it's because of a beauty product, specifically a set of false lashes, that I was able to get time with Michelle in the end. Because she is, in fact, an Illa Muse for Illa Masca, and they have named a set of lashes after her. And guess what? Three of you are going to win a set of these lashes. For details of the competition, please head over to my Instagram, at Emma Gunns, where you'll find the details of how to enter. Just look for the post featuring Michelle Visage. From False Lashes, we talk about her signature scent, why cruelty-free beauty is so important to her, how she manages her autoimmune disease and the complexities of managing specific diet protocols when you're on the road 9 months out of 12. I asked Michelle how she manages to be so giving and how she creates boundaries so she doesn't give too much, as well as how she takes the time to shut off and recharge. There's also talk of anxiety. She talks very candidly about depression. And we take a little detour into star signs, where I think she may actually have seen into my soul. I was fascinated to learn about her school years as somebody who was bullied and who didn't fit in, why she's always felt a kinship with London, and the power of visualization. And ever since I spoke to her, I have been visualizing my ass off. I hung on every word, and I hope you do too. Before we get into the show, I just want to say a huge thank you for all your support. The podcast went into the top 10 on the iTunes art charts last week, which is kind of crazy, and I'm just so grateful. It's a huge achievement, and your reviews, your star ratings, and your subscriptions really do mean the world to me, and they make such a difference. So if you're enjoying the show, then please do let as many people know as you can. If you want to get in touch with me, remember all you have to do is go to emmaguns.com, click the little envelope in the menu bar, and your message will go straight into my inbox, and I promise I get back to each one personally, and I try to do it as quickly as possible. You can also tweet me at emmaguns and follow me on Instagram, where guess what? I'm also Emma Guns. I really hope you enjoy this episode of The Emma Guns Show featuring the one and only Michelle Visage. Joining me on this episode of The Emma Guns Show, it's the one and only Michelle Visage.
Yay!
Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you for having me, love.
And I'm so happy I've come to see you. We're in London.
Yes.
You're in London.
I'm in London.
And one of the reasons you are over here is because you are an Illa Muse.
Yes, I am. I'm so lucky.
So I popped into the store the other day and you have the Visage Lash.
Yes.
And so I thought, well, now we have to sit down and talk about lashes.
Yes.
And everything else that we put on our face and body, because I listen to your show, What's the Tea with RuPaul.
Thank you.
Michelle Visage. And whenever you guys talk about beauty products, I go back and listen to it again. And the thing that's always struck me is how unbelievably well-versed about everything you are. You don't just like a product because, oh, it's really nice to get on my skin.
Yeah.
You really know your stuff.
I do indeed.
You're quite forensic. Even now, just before we came on, Anna's in the room. Hello, Anna.
Hi.
You can introduce yourself to the listeners. We were talking about Arnold Schwarzenegger, and even that, you know a lot.
Tons.
You seem like you are a font of information.
Yeah. As a kid, I've always been that kid that didn't settle for face value. I always wanted to go deeper and know why I like something, why. Like, I remember I was a huge, you read my book. I was the Go-Go's as a music group changed my life. I was a little girl who was chubby, who boys didn't like. I got made fun of, got bullied. The Go-Go's came out, and Belinda Carlisle was this chubby lead singer who wore mini skirts and had no shame. Like, she was like, I'm who I am, I'm proud, and I fuck it. Like, I am all about this. And I remember listening to the album as a singer and dissecting line by line and writing them fan letters ad nauseum. I must have written 20, 30 fan letters to the Go-Go's saying, who sings this line in this song? You know, in the song Automatic, there's a line that sounds, you know, and I would never get anything back because, of course, the only thing you would get back would be a pre-stamped letter saying $10 for, you know, and a self-address. So I always tried to find backstories and information and everything. Mm-hmm. The things that interest me, of course, because there's certain things that are out there that I don't like. Politics is something that they just don't interest me. Mm-hmm. They should, because my country's falling apart. Brexit's happening. Like, we're in the worst place that we are ever in my lifetime. And I'm 48 years old. So for me, it's like, oh my God. But what interests me, I delve deeper. Mm-hmm. Arnold Schwarzenegger, I was really into bodybuilding and dated a lot of bodybuilders growing up. So he is the pinnacle of bodybuilding. He is the creator. He is it. I mean, there's Joe Weider, there's, you know, Jack LaLanne, there's amazing people along the years. But Arnold is the pinnacle. Mm. He is what you strive to be in the world of bodybuilding. So dating them, bodybuilders, and getting involved in that world, I learned a lot about him. So if you were to ask me about something I have no idea about, I'm going to say, I have no clue. And you've heard me say it on the podcast. But for the most part, like, RuPaul's obsessed with music and RuPaul's obsessed with cars. So he knows these producers of any song at any given time. And he'll look at me and I'm like, don't look at me for information because I have no idea what you're talking about right now. But other things I do. So yes, I know a lot, a little bit about mostly everything in this world and a lot about a few things.
So with your lashes in particular, I was quite surprised when I saw them. Because Illa Muscle are known for, they don't walk the safe lane.
Correct.
For sure. And so when I saw yours, I wondered, did you just find them and then you wore them loads and they became your lash? Or did you have any input in creating
them? I found them in the store. They used to call them Quiver. Mm-hmm. And they were in there a couple years ago. And I've been friends with Julian and Ilamasca for a while. And they've been lovely to me because my signature scent is Ilamasca Freak Scarab. And nobody knows about it. I just sprayed it and you're like, what's that? Nobody knows about it. It's my signature scent. So I was talking to them and asked them if they can send me some bottles because I go through it like water. And that's the thing about it. It lasts forever, but you don't know you're wearing it.
Yeah.
So people will say, and I'll go, oh my God, I thought it wore off, but it stays on. And that's why it's great.
Nasal blindness, because I love perfumes, but I hate nasal blindness because you do, you get the hit.
Correct.
And then it's for everyone else.
Yes, it is for everyone else. But for me, that works because when I wear perfumes that I smell all day, I hate it. Mm-hmm. By the end of the day, I want it off.
Yeah.
With that, it didn't happen. So I started a relationship with him and he sent me a package of things and Quiver, the lashes were in there. And I put them on and they're perfect for stage. They're perfect for drama. I mean, you could wear them every day. They're a bit much, but for every day, you know, they work for everybody. My point is you don't have to be a clown or a drag queen or a freak to wear them, though it does help. So I wore them and I after wearing them, RuPaul, I remember, was like, what are you wearing on your eye? And every queen would ask me what I was wearing on my eye. And I usually double or triple lashes. And I didn't need to with no, those lashes.
They're substantial.
Yes, but they're not, they're substantial, but they're not like 301s like the drag queens wear, where they're really heavy and they would shadow your face, which is another thing I loved about them. You didn't get shadows from them. And I've worn them on television. You didn't get shadows from them. So when I contacted him to get more, I need like 20 pairs. He's like, we discontinued them. I said, what? These are the best lashes I've ever owned. Like, they're perfect. They're self-sufficient. They're one lash on and done. And they're cruelty-free, which is really important to me. So he's like, oh, my God, I'll give you what I had left. And it ended up being, like, four pairs. So a few months go by, and he inboxes me and says, or emails me and says, can we rebrand these and relaunch them as the Visage Lash? And I was like, oh, my God, I'm so honored. And it's a lash that I wear. It's a lash that I love, and it's a company that I believe in because they have integrity, and they know where their product is being sold. They don't test on animals, and that's super important to me. So that's how the lash came about.
And it's wonderful. And also, we should mention at this point, we are actually running a competition on the show, and three lucky listeners are going to win a pair of Visage lashes.
Yay! They are so, so good. I will say that my tip, I always use black glue.
Adhesive glue, yeah.
But I use Weave Bond. I don't use lash glue. And I don't know if an ophthalmologist would be happy about that or it's a different, you know, a lot of people have latex issues and there's latex in almost every single lash glue. But with this, they come right off. They don't pull my lashes out and it lasts and it dries much quicker. So I'm a big fan of the Weave Bond for lash adhesive.
Okay. We shall put a link to that.
It is. It's called 30 second lash, 30 second weave bond.
30 second weave bond.
Yeah, it's great.
I will find a link and I'll put that in the show notes.
Yeah, it's good.
Cruelty free. I also get very excited on the podcast when you talk about autoimmune disease. Again, not excited because.
Yay!
Because you're very knowledgeable about it.
Yeah.
And because I really do listen to what you're saying.
Yeah.
And I know that a lot of people contact you about being vegan. Are you gluten-free vegan?
Yeah. And soy-free.
And soy-free.
And sugar-free when I can be. Yeah.
How do you manage that when you're traveling?
It's brutal. I have JAGs where I fall off the wagon because I'm starving. Or, you know, sometimes all I can get is hummus and crisps. And when you're starving, it's like you'll eat anything, which is terrible and unhealthy. But I try to prepare. I have the Happy Cow app. Almost every city has something that's vegan friendly. And if worse comes to worse, it's lettuce and vinegar. And at least I can fill myself up on it. Wow. But when I'm being bad, you know, I'm being bad and I'll do things with sugar and I'll have a sweet chili sauce and stuff like that. But I try my best not to. And I was really, really strict for 2 years plus, and I got my numbers back, and you heard me talk about it, like nothing changed, nothing. And the doctor was basically saying that I need to incorporate animal products and be on more of a paleo or a ketogenic diet. And I started to try it by incorporating eggs back in and I looked at fish, I looked at meat, and I was like, I just can't do it. I actually can't do it. I can't do it. So the torture is like, I'm between this place right now where it's like, I know health-wise I should probably at least try what the doctors are telling me to do and see if it makes a difference on my numbers. But ethically, I'm having a really hard time with it, so I haven't done it. And the eggs are once in a while now. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to see if that makes a difference. And then if the eggs make a once in a while difference, then maybe I can just live there.
Yeah.
And not have to do any kind of flesh.
Because there seems to be... I've had a couple of nutritionists on the show, and these... There are ways of eating now that we didn't know about 20 years ago.
Correct.
And it is a real challenge, actually. And I think there's never been more available convenient food. Just grab it and go.
Correct.
But actually, if you want to follow any of these things, the planning that goes into it...
Yes.
You can't just... I'm guessing when you travel, you can't just think, oh, well, I'll get something at the airport. You're like, I will have to put something in Tupperware.
Or and I usually do. I travel with my own stuff. Travel with my own pink Himalayan sea salt. I travel with stevia, which... You know, if you follow an AIP, an autoimmune protocol, you're not supposed to be having any sweetener at all, including stevia, because it's inflammatory. So it's what it is to the average person, utterly confusing because so many people try so many different things. And every time I've done every diet on the planet in my years of weight loss and, you know, eating disorders, I've done everything. But recently I had with my thyroid disorder, comes heart palpitations. Mm-hmm. So I get heart physicals, stress test, EKG, echocardiogram. I do the whole lot every 5 years or so. And I just went recently and I told the doctor, who's a heart surgeon, and I told him that I've been strictly vegan, gluten-free, soy-free. And I said, and my doctors are telling me to go ketogenic. And he looked at me and said, there is absolutely no, he's like, medically, there is no safer diet than the vegan diet. He said, if you are vegan, you will never, and he said this on record, there will never be heart disease or heart attack in your future, ever. There's no way with a vegan diet. So that's no cheese, no dairy, no eggs. I'm on the line when it comes to honey. I'll take honey when I'm sick. Mm-hmm. Because I don't feel bees are tortured to make honey, but they're, you know, a true vegan won't eat honey, and I'll only have Manuka honey when I'm ill. But other than that, that's quite a huge statement.
That's massive.
But then there's also the line of, like, I get really bad brain fog when I'm bad, really bad, like can barely function brain fog. And I was reading Grain Brain and how grains can impact that. So as a vegan, now I'm thinking I can't really have grains either. So that's one more thing I'm about to pull out. So is it difficult? Yes. Does it sound ridiculous? Absolutely. But I'm kind of rigging the system here. Mm. I'm just trying to see what's going to work on my blood work. Yeah. And then when it comes back and he goes, oh my God, we've made a difference. Whatever you're doing is going to work. So right now with me pulling back on the grains and adding an occasional egg, you know, I'm talking like once a month or something, an egg, an organic free-range, beautiful egg that...
With a golden yolk.
That's it, that a chicken has given me. Then we'll see if that makes a difference. If it doesn't, then I'll just go back to my old ways. And at least I know my heart will be healthy and my circulatory system and stuff like that. But I don't know about the autoimmune, you know? It's not terrible. It could be worse. Like, my numbers are about 350, whereas in my TPO, which is my thyroid peroxidase, it's your antibodies.
Okay.
For autoimmune. Whereas I've read horror stories of people up about 10,000 and your normal is under 9. So I'm at 350, 390, goes up and down. Yeah. It's crazy. It's insane.
I think if you have something like autoimmune, or even if you just have food intolerances, perhaps.
Correct. Celiac or...
I think people sometimes maybe don't understand sometimes the way that really does impact on your life. You talk about brain fog.
Yeah.
I think if you have anything, any kind of situation going on, you cannot function.
People don't understand what brain fog is. They, in explaining brain fog, before I went into Big Brother, I was having really bad bouts of brain fog, and I was so scared that I was going to be in the house with bad brain fog, because what happens is you become almost like, you can't do anything because you can't think. You're delayed. And you know how frustrating it is to watch something on the computer and the mouth is not following?
Yeah.
That's what you are in life. It's the only way I can explain it. You're hearing, but it takes, you're 30 seconds behind before it sinks in. And then, so you're not on top of your game. You're not quick. And I'm really quick. Mm. So it's really frustrating when my brain fog is in full effect. I don't know what triggers it. I really don't. I feel sometimes sugar triggers it. But the 2 years that I was really, really strict, I didn't barely have any brain fog. So I did notice that. So I know that chemicals and clogging up our system has to do with brain fog. But I know for a lot of people with autoimmune, and not just the one I have, which is Hashimoto's, but, you know, Crohn's and you know, lupus, we all have brain fog. And in real life, mm-hmm. even without having an autoimmune, the older we get, you have to understand that we're bombarded with chemicals the minute you walk out the door, unless you're living in the most beautiful, pure valley with goats and horses around you, which is, it could happen. It's not, you know, if you're anywhere near a city or you take public transport or you're on a freeway, you're inundated with toxins. Mm. In our home, the EMF from Wi-Fi is everywhere. It's battering our brain and our cell phones. They're everywhere. If you think about it, we're getting, our bodies are not, evolution did not happen that way. Mm. That's something that's been thrown at us. So different diseases are happening. Tons more autoimmune than ever existed before. Mm. And it's because of that. It's because of our household cleaners. It's because of what we use in our laundry. It's because of what we put on our skin. People don't think about these things. Everything matters. Now, I sound like an alarmist, and I don't mean to be, but this is something that impacts me because I have an autoimmune disease. But I got the autoimmune disease because of that. It didn't run in my family. Mm. So when I first was diagnosed, and plus I had an eating disorder, and I think that had something to do with it as well. And I smoked cigarettes for 11 years. That had something to do with it as well. Everything. I was raised on processed foods. My mother cooked, but I had boxed cereal every day. I had juice from a can every day. I'm sure those cans had lead in them. You know, think about these things. We didn't know. Mm. In the 70s and 80s, my parents didn't know, nor did they give a shit. It was living on a dime. Mm. So it's interesting. But now, if you look back, our generation, especially my generation, has all these illnesses and high instances of cancers. And there's a reason for that. Thank God we have the science to understand that the BPA in a water bottle, when left warm, leaches into your water and causes breast cancer. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't have to drink the bisphenol A, whatever it's called, anymore. But they have to put something else in it that's not going to be good. So drinking from glass is the best way. And there's all crazy things.
It's the convenience thing, isn't it? Orange juice in the can is convenience. Plastic bottles, convenience.
Of course.
And then also in younger people, anxiety. The central nervous system isn't designed to be able to cope with all the stimulus, like blue light from phones. You walk down the street, we were just talking about how lovely and peaceful it is around here, but you head into central London, billboards whirring, noise constantly, perfume coming out of shops. It's just too much.
It's an overload of the senses. You have to give yourself a break. You have to shut off an hour before you go to sleep. I know it's hard. Trust me. You have to not sleep with the phone at least 6 inches away from your head, or else you're getting radiation beaming into your head all night. Mm. Women put the phones in their bra. I was a victim of it when I first started using cell phones. And those small cell phones came out. So I'm thinking 2003, 2004, like around then, used to just shove it in our bra, the flip phones, just tuck them and run. Breast cancer causes breast cancer. People put them in their pocket, causes ovarian cancer. You don't think about these things. And then when you think back, you go, oh my God, what I've done to myself. Mm. So you have to detoxify. And I know, again, your listeners probably get it, but there's a lot of people that would be like, that's just bullshit. There's doctors that will tell you that cleansing is bullshit. But if you cleanse the right way, it's not bullshit. I like to do things like colonics and then do a fast. Is it necessary? No. You can cleanse an inexpensive way, you know. Mm-hmm. Tell your doctor you're going to do a water fast or a juice fast for 24 to 48 hours. That's a good way to at least just get stuff out. Change the things you put on your skin, you know. I can guarantee that the skincare that most people use, 99% of people use, are loaded with toxins. The biggest organ in our body is our epidermis, our skin. Mm-hmm. So, you know, just switching to organic coconut oil on your skin changes everything. And it's not expensive anymore.
Let's talk about the fact that I started oil pulling after listening to your podcast.
And do you like it?
I mean, the initial thing was bizarre.
It is bizarre.
And I get very, very bad jewelry.
Yeah. You don't have to pull so hard. You can just kind of swish.
That's a story of my life. I need to just, relax a bit more. But it is... there is something pretty cool about it.
Well, it's Ayurvedic. It's been around for thousands of years. You know what I mean? That was me reading about it and trying it and then talking about it. And yeah, these things become fads, unfortunately. And I'm not really a fan of fads. Mm-hmm. But on the other side of a fad is getting out the important information to the masses. Mm. So that's why I'm a fan of fads. Like, there's two different ways to look at it. If there's science and if there's sustenance and substance to what we're talking about, then it's not really a fad. It's a fact that's just happening to take over the world, like these diets, like the Atkins diet or the paleo diet. If there is science behind them for weight loss, for living optimally as an athlete, you know, and then there's the other side. So the toss up is, what do you want to do? Do you want to be an athlete and be as lean as you can? Or do you want to guarantee you'll have no heart disease? It's like you walk a line. It's like Sophie's Choice. I don't know. Do I want to be lean and skinny while I'm alive? Or do I want to not die of a heart attack one day suddenly? So it's like crazy. There are ways to do both. Mm. You know, I've been following this paleo vegan. They call it vegan. And it's interesting, you know, but it is so much freaking preparation, and being on the road 9 months out of the year, it's almost impossible to be like vegan. But I can bring with me, you know, coconut snacks, this and that, for whatever I have to do to shove in my face when I'm starving and I look at the, you know, whatever fast food place and be like, oh, grilled cheese would be really good right now, but I can't do it, you know?
Grilled cheese, there's never a time when grilled cheese
is wrong. I agree.
Doesn't solve some problems.
So when I go to vegan restaurants and they have gluten-free vegan grilled cheeses, it's like, I'll take three, thanks, yeah. But I'm trying to cut out the grains in the bread, so.
You mentioned giving yourself a break.
Yes.
And I wanted to talk a little bit about that because I had a nutritionist on the show previously called Eve Kalinick, and I've since seen her as a private patient.
Oh, good for you.
And one of the things she said to me is, kindness to yourself. Yeah. Actually, part of a kindness to yourself is planning your meals.
Yes.
Not trying to get you onto any kind of sort of system that you don't want to be on.
Right.
But that's a form of self-care.
Yeah, of course. Anything taking care of yourself is a form of self-care. Taking a bath when you need a bath, you know, taking a break, getting a pedicure, even things that don't cost money, sitting back, shutting everything off, reading a book. Sitting on your sofa with a little duvet and just reading a book, you know, having a cup of tea. All these moments are self-care. You know, getting away from the kids for 5 minutes, even if you have to walk outside, walk in the hall because you can't leave your little one. Take a break, get yourself together, then put yourself back in. That's self-care. You're useless to your job. You're useless to your family, useless to your husband, your child, your wife, whoever, if you're not in your best mind. I know that when I'm frazzled or my anxiety is at a high or my brain fog is kicking in motion and my kids need me, I'm useless. So I need to say, I'm going to walk out right now. Even to my husband, like when we're arguing, I'm like, I'll just walk out. And he gets really upset that I don't stay and talk about it. I'm like, I'm useless right now. And I'm going to say something that I really shouldn't say. Let me just give me 10 minutes. You know, self-care is super important. Meditation, all that stuff is super important. I don't know how to silence that either, Annie. I don't know. Yeah.
You've talked about it on your show. I feel like I'm
You're
there.
Part of us.
Oh, I have written in once, and actually, true story, because I designed the website using Squarespace and the offer code Rue.
Good girl.
I wrote in, and
did we read it?
Rue read it out. It was a week when you weren't doing the
app. It was the Faith Evans show, probably. Because I only did one show without him.
It was the show where you had the pit crew on. It was the Christmas issue. And he called me Emily, but I didn't mind. And then he said my surname perfectly.
Did he?
He said Gunnar Wardner. And I just thought, I'm in love with this man.
What nationality is that?
Sri Lankan.
Oh, that's amazing.
But it's why everyone calls me Emma Gunns.
I love Sri Lankan food.
Do you now?
Do. Random.
Have you ever been?
To Sri Lanka, no. But this is a sidebar that you can cut out. But we used to do, on my radio show in New York, we used to do Restaurant of the Week. And one of them was Sri Lankan, and we used to laugh because they had things called hoppers, I think. It's a type of food. You don't know. And it was the most delicious thing. Like, so they would come there and cook. And I was like, great, Sri Lankan food. What's going to be crickets? Like, I had no idea what it was going to be. Because every time you go to these different countries, it's like, I don't know. And it was one of my favorite foods I've ever had.
Oh.
Sri Lankan food.
Okay, I need to start.
You need to go try it. I think they're called hoppers. I'm not kidding. And when you go, you're going to taste one and you're going to be like, oh, this is amazing.
Putting it all over Instagram.
So yeah. I do. But which is why I love foods like that, because they all have vegetarian and vegan options. Yes. Indian foods, all like they all kind of revere these animals so they don't slaughter them and use them in their food. Well, great.
This is true.
Yeah. Okay, back to...
Back to the podcast. Rue talks about meditation a lot.
Rue's life is meditation.
And I feel like he's very...
centered.
Yes. Like drilled into the earth. Yes. And if you need to, you can tether yourself.
Yes. But it's taken a very long time for him to get there. And that just goes to show you that focus and determination gets you to where you want to be. He's never been bigger in his life and he's 56 years old.
Yeah.
And this is his biggest year thus far. Time Magazine, an Emmy, our MTV award, bigger than anything. And it's just getting bigger and bigger. And that's due to focus. Forget about determination, all that stuff. That's, yes, of course, focus.
Mm.
Because most of us, me included, tend to scatter. So my self-doubt is a big thing. And we just go all over the place and forget. Tethering's a great word, that we need to be tethered. And most of us go through life untethered. And meditation is something that I'm reading a great book I've got with me called Infinite Possibilities by Mike Dooley. And it's about... taking, and I told my friend here, Annie, that 5 minutes of visualization every day, whether it's at night or the morning, it's up to you, or when you're taking a shit, whatever you want to do, 5 minutes of focusing, but focus with emotion. So focusing, you can have your vision boards and you can look at them every day and that's going to help and that's great. But if you take 5 minutes, no more than 5 minutes, it becomes overkill.
Mm-hmm.
And you sit there and you look and you feel what it's going to feel like for you to achieve what you want to achieve. So you know my dream listening to the podcast, one of them is to have a black Corvette. It's been my dream since I'm 13 years old. It sounds so stupid and it's materialistic. And it's something I always put aside because I have kids and it's like, it's just a two-seater. And how can I spend all that much money? You know what I mean? But I'm going to get that black Corvette. Like, I'm going to get it. No, somehow. If I have to steal it, I'm going to get it. So I imagine myself every day.
Can I please be on that heist with you?
Come on in with me. I'm going to get that Corvette. And I start my visualization every day with seeing myself driving to wherever I want to go in that Corvette. So I see myself driving that black Corvette, and I'm so happy. So I see myself driving into the gate of my own TV show. So I'm pulling into the studio lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, hey, Michelle. And I see them. I'm like, hey, Michelle. And I see the whole thing with emotion.
Yeah.
Because if you just see it, you're like, okay, I see that, see that. Seeing it with emotion is a fast track to making it happen. If you know how you're going to feel, or you could assume how you're going to feel when I sign that contract on my own show,
mm-hmm.
or, you know, I'm signing the contract for season 20 of RuPaul's Drag Race, like we're going and going and going.
Mm-hmm.
You know how you're going to feel. You're not going to feel sad. Or when my agent calls me and says, you got the job, it's like, oh my God. So feeling that emotion with it. So I do that every day for 5 minutes. And every day it changes, except for the Corvette. That stays the same every day. But I see my kids getting into the unis that they want. I see them, because my daughter struggled so hard with depression, I see her happiness, and I really feel like it helps, and it's helping. And Lily has come so far in a very short time. I know, you know, 2.5 years of debilitating, crippling, suicidal depression is like not long compared to some people battled it their whole life. But as a parent, seeing your child and not being able to do anything about it, it was the longest two and a half years of my life. But seeing her now functioning, she's the lead of in the Odd Couple play. She's working and she's the vice president of the entire student body. Like, things are changing so much for her. And yes, she's doing the work, but I'm helping in the sidelines with my visualization, you know? So if you're not able to meditate, it's a good way to start, because most people, me included, will say, I'm not able to shut my brain off. With visualization, you don't have to.
Oh, I love that.
Your brain is active.
Because I have a very busy brain.
Right.
So I find meditation so hard.
What star sign are you?
Sagittarius.
It's my husband. So you guys, are you married?
No.
Sagittarius don't really like to settle down. You guys like to flit around and flirt and have fun, but you're kind of not like to set. My husband's a Sag. So it was like, And my rising sign, Sag.
Oh, see, my rising sign, Scorpio. Anyway.
That's Rue.
Oh, yeah. See.
Yeah, that's a good combo, though, Sag and Scorpio. It's wouldn't want to be on your bad side, but it's a it's a good one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I am. It's unforgiving, isn't it? It's the...
When you cut it off, you cut it off.
Yeah.
Virgos are the same way, which is why Virgos and Scorpios aren't a match, but they get along really well.
Okay.
Because you're kind of like, you're all or nothing. And that's, Sagittarius are like that too.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, so it's a good thing.
You talked then about your own self-doubt.
In my book.
Yes. And just then. And the thing for me, and I realise television is not real.
Yeah.
Despite feeling like I am in the studio with you when you do the podcast. But you are, when you are critiquing somebody or you are giving somebody advice, there's such clarity.
Yes.
And there's no doubt there whatsoever.
No. I don't doubt anything in this world except myself. Whenever I say with conviction and I mean it. And it's really, and I'm always right. I am always right. I'm very hard to prove wrong. But I will say when I am wrong, I'll accept it. If you say, look, you know, you're wrong. And I go, oh, really? I don't know. But I know that I'm not wrong. 99.9% of the time. Like I said, politics, I'll fight you, but I know if I'm wrong, I'll go, oh, how many people are in the House of Representatives? Like, I don't know.
Sorry about it.
Right, exactly. But that's me giving advice. I am the best advice giver in the world because I know what I'm talking about. I've lived through the majority of
life is full of awesome what ifs and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out of pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
It. I've never been divorced, but I can talk about divorce because I've been through it with people.
Mm-hmm.
I've never been a drug addict, but I've helped so many people through their substance abuses. I've lived a long life and a very hardy life. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to myself, it's a different story. That's because overachievers tend to be this way. So, you know, with my visualization comes self-reward. You know, I feel rewarded when I see myself doing these things. And then there's moments where I'm trying to be kind. I am actually being kinder to myself these days because I'll go on auditions and I might not get the audition, but I know it was a good go. Like I walk out feeling I did really well there. I might not be what they're looking for, but I did good, you know? So I'm giving myself that instead of walking out immediately going, you sucked. That sucked.
That comes with age and, I don't know, experience.
Wisdom, experience, age, realizing that nothing is that important. Whatever's going to happen is going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to have to create my own shit, chances are, before I'm going to be given anything. And I'm fine with it because I'm a grafter. Like, I will work my ass off for everything, and I have. Nothing has ever been handed to me. Rue has given me these jobs, but I worked my ass off to get to Rue. I worked my ass off to get to the point because he's not going to ever bring me along if I wasn't worthy of it. He sees something in me that very few people did. And thank God he did. Because now the world gets to see. See, I told you, bitches. I've been telling you this my whole life. You know, and now they see it. You know, but it just takes sometimes you believing in yourself to get to that point.
It's wonderful, though, when you can see yourself through somebody else's eyes.
It's not really easy. So saying that is poignant, but it's not easy for the average person to do. I say it to my child all the time. If you can just see yourself the way I see yourself, I know you're going to be fine.
Yeah.
You know, so when they have those moments of self-doubt, every girl thinks they're hideously ugly at 13 and 15 years old. And my girls went through the same thing. My 15-year-old is stunningly beautiful. Both of my girls are. My 15-year-old is striking. My 17-year-old is, you know, ambiguous looking. And she's amazing. She's androgynous and great. It's stunningly beautiful as well. But my 15-year-old is the girl who wants to be, you know, the popular girl. And she's so fucking funny, like British funny, dry, sarcastic humor.
I love that. British funny.
She's British funny. That's why American kids don't get her, because she's British funny. And she's like, my friends don't understand my sense of humor. I said, honey, they will. They don't get it right now because they're not ready.
I don't want to do the Real Housewives. You're here. Listeners, I'm holding my hand high and then low for your hair, but It is a thing, isn't it? Like, they will mature into that sense of humor.
Both of my girls are kind of otherworldly. But my point in telling you about them is they both think they're hideously ugly. But I remember being that age and wanting to get my tits done, wanting to change my nose. Hated the bump on my nose. Hated, like, hideously ugly, like, fought with my mother. And then we didn't have the money to do it. That's the only thing. Like, she would have... I didn't get my boobs done until I could pay for it myself. But at that point, I was already professionally singing, and it was like, I got scared. I was like, Barbara never changed her nose. So I never did it. But that was the first thing I would have changed. Now, Lola's got my nose. So automatically, she's like, I hate this bump. And I'm like, I promise that's going to change. So seeing yourself through somebody else's eyes is probably the hardest thing in the world to do.
Mm.
Is it possible? Yes, but good luck.
Overachiever. Please, can we talk about that? Because I also think this visualization, some people, I'm guessing here, but your visualization that you do for the Black Corvette, that's something that right now is out of your reach.
Yes.
So it's a big dream. It's a big, hence the dream word. Whereas for others, it might just be just to have a good day at work.
Yeah. No, it doesn't have to be big. You listen, let's say you want to ask for a raise and your raise is going to be 20 pounds more a week. That can make or break a lot of people.
Mm.
That's 80 pounds a month, sometimes 100, depending on the month. And you're afraid to ask and you don't know how to do it. If you visualize yourself going in to ask for that raise and you see the boss saying, yes, of course you'll get your raise. It's going to give you confidence. And it's also, in my mind, going to make it happen. You know, I wouldn't say do it for 5 minutes and go in and ask for the raise. I'm going to say work on it, build up to it. And then when you get to that place where you actually feel what you're going to feel when they say yes, and you know it's going to happen, that's when you go in, because it changes your whole aura.
Mm.
And then you're walking in with confidence. It could be as simple as, for me, I do a lot of visualization with my health. I see my thyroid shrinking, you know, things like that. You could do it that way. You can do it in your marriage. You can do it with anything. Anything. I've heard people manifesting parking spots becoming available, space on the tube to sit. Yes. I know it sounds trivial, but try it.
Yeah.
Try it with small things.
Because I've talked on this podcast before about being quite vicious to myself in my own internal dialogue. And it would be the case if you'd leave the house and it would be, well, it's going to rain, isn't it? Oh, I'm going to miss the train.
And then it rains and you're going to miss the train.
The platform's going to be crowded.
Yeah.
And it can just... starts off as a tiny thing and then it just...
Yeah.
Worlds against you.
It's, you know, like begets like. You know, power of the law of attraction, power of now, all that stuff. There's science behind it. It's not just mumbo jumbo. Mm. Eckhart Tolle is brilliant. You know, Rue swears by Eckhart Tolle. I can only take so much because it's so heady that I can read like one page at a time. My husband's, it's like he's on his fourth month reading The Power of Now. He loves it, but it's so overwhelming, you know, and Rue listens to the audio book, but it's got validity and quantum physics is the basis of law of attraction.
I'm going to find the episode where you talk about quantum physics on the podcast, and I'm going to put it in the link on the show notes because that blew my tiny mind.
Yeah.
Just quantum physics is real.
Yeah, it's real. It's a thing. People major in it in uni, like it's a thing. So the point is, this didn't come from nowhere. Again, it was a fad, but a fad that needed to be mainstreamed. Mm. And thanks to Rhonda Byrne and The Secret and Oprah, people found out about it and changed lives. It's the power of manifestation. We are all but molecules. It's really fucked up if you think about it.
Mm.
This stuff isn't even real. It's mass, molecules in suspension, gravity, all that stuff. That's what we are.
Mm.
Filled with a soul. So it's very, very weird, but it's very, very real. So, yeah.
I'm going to ask you about how you learn as well, because you said about having a busy mind.
Yeah.
Do you, when you read a book, are you able to read a book, or do you find that you've got five pages in and you haven't been daydreaming?
I read five books at one time because I can't. So I've got my Kindle and then I'll have a physical book. So I started Harry Potter again because I've read it 10 times. So I started them again. I know. And I'm reading Infinite Possibilities. I traveled with that because I'm forcing myself to read that one because I need it. And then I'm reading Animal Farm again, George Orwell. On my Kindle, Rue's obsessed with Animal Farm. He talks about it.
Sales gone up on Animal Farm in 1984 since Trump got in.
I wouldn't be surprised because that's what we're living. That. Like we're that's it in Trumpian society. 1984 is debuting on Broadway too. Like yeah. So for me, it is hard to quiet my mind. virtually impossible, but not impossible. And the way I do it is through visualization and meditation apps. You've heard me talk about them, yes, as well. Like, I swear by them because I'm not good at sitting down and shutting my mind. I have all those meditation apps and they help. Yeah. And then I'll do guided meditation to go to sleep, because even though I have no problem sleeping, I'm a really good sleeper. I'm going to do one tonight so you can see what I use. It's really, really good to just guide yourself into a sleep, because it'll be a deeper sleep.
Guided meditations are, I didn't realize how powerful they were. I did one recently and it just, for days afterwards, I could almost like feel something was different.
Well, then that's how you know you got a good one. You could feel it, you tingle.
But it was a bit unnerving. I wasn't expecting to have like a physical reaction to it.
Well, that's great. That means your prime target.
Yeah.
You can benefit a lot from it.
Well, I do try to keep doing more, but it's one of those things where I want to, and probably like you, I'd struggle with it. And then I had a anxiety specialist, Chloe, on the show recently, and she said it's not about whether you can fit meditation into your day. It's whether your day can carry on without you doing it.
You need to do it. Mm-hmm. If you have anxiety issues, you need to do it. And I've been off medication for 6 years now. Listen, I fought medication with my daughter. I'm not a big fan of psychotropic drugs. I'm just not. Mm-hmm. But they do have their place. And I tried every natural remedy there was for my daughter, Lily. Everyone for 2 years. And it's just getting worse and worse. And she'd been in therapy the whole time. And then it came to a point where I said to her, do you want medication? She didn't want it because I didn't want it. Mm. She was against it because I'm against it. She's been on Prozac now for probably like 6 or 7 months. And we were going to try it for a year and start weaning her off. But it's working for her right now. I went on it twice for my anxiety. Mine was never depression. Mine was anxiety. I would have panic attacks, but not in the normal. Like, people always say, well, what triggers it? When you have anxiety and depression, it's not a direct trigger, mostly. Mm-hmm. The majority are not direct triggers. Some people have been abused. Some people have had traumatic. That's different. That's more like PTSD type of anxiety and depression. Mine was triggered by autoimmune, come to find out that they go hand in hand. Autoimmune and anxiety disorders go hand in hand. So if you have autoimmune and you have anxiety, now it's going to make sense. So many studies, they go hand in hand. So I didn't realize that because the regular medical doctors, MDs, don't know. They don't care. They don't do the naturopathic research that an ND would do. Allopathic doctors, is like, you know, it goes into all of this stuff, but they go hand in hand. So I took medication the first time 6 months and weaned off, and it worked for a couple of years. And then the second time that I talk about in the book, where it felt like I was getting electric zaps in my head, then I went back on it for another year and came off, and I've been off for 6 years. But when I came off, by the way, you could never just stop anxiety or depression medication. You have to, you have to wean off, because it's the most dangerous thing. When I stopped, it was because of money. Like, we didn't have insurance and we didn't have money to pay for the medication. I thought now's a perfect time to wean off and give it a go. And I would have found a way to, you know, I've got friends and places that could have gotten me some meds. When I weaned off, I also taught myself breathing techniques, how to talk myself out of a panic attack, even when because physical things will manifest. They will happen. Sometimes I can feel my heart racing. I get this weird, feels like a gush of like whatever going through my body. Like, it feels like water dripping down me from the inside. It's the only way I can explain it. And that's anxiety. So I'll breathe. I'll say, okay, I know what's happening right now. I can talk myself off the ledge, where before I didn't have those tools. So I've got that, but I haven't had meds for 6 years.
Because you can do things like go on radio, you can do this podcast, you can go on TV live and pre-recorded. And a lot of people assume, well, there can't be any anxiety or nerve issues there, because a lot of people would struggle to do that.
Oh, you'd be surprised with how many people on television and stage have anxiety issues. You'd be surprised. We just don't show it. You know, we can't let them, you know, the saying is never let them see you sweat. It was the deodorant saying years ago, but it's true. If you don't show it, but now, I mean, I feel it's necessary to talk about it, because I want people to know that they're not alone, which is why I wrote the book, because so many kids suffer. I get emails every day. How do you deal with this? What do you do? What do I do? How do I do it? And as a kid, I had no resources. Nobody knew. what that was. I didn't know what it was. I just thought I was high strung, you know?
Exactly.
I cut caffeine out the first thing I ever did. And it helps. I don't do caffeine at all. Not ever. Not ever. Yeah, I try not to even have chocolate, even like raw cacao and stuff like that. In the vegan world, has so much caffeine in it that I can't even really go near it. I try my best. I'm not going to say I don't slip, but yeah.
You are but human.
Yes, exactly. And female.
But I mean, to that example, I can go in and do QVC, Lisa Robertson Hero.
Love.
I can go in and do guest presenting on that and feel completely, yeah, this is fine. But I can walk through London and it can just be a bit busy and all of that can just set me off. And
you have to not think about that, because me too. We were in town and we walked into somewhere. I forgot where it was. I don't even know if it was Primark. It was Primark, and I was like, there's a lot of people. And people don't freak me out in the norm, but the way the world is now, it's a lot of people. And especially in Primark, people don't move. They'll roll over you with your trolley. They're just not moving.
Yeah.
You say, excuse me, they don't care. They're bumping right into you. Because it's another holiday. They're doing whatever. Like, they don't care. Mm. So for me, it was like, okay, I'm just going to focus. And if you focus and not think about it, when you give in to thinking about what's happening, you're going to lose your mind. Mm. If you don't think about it and just worry about you, it becomes a lot easier. I found that might not work for you.
That's great, though. It's that thing. Again, it comes back to self-care, doesn't
yeah,
it? Stop worrying about...
That's it. Don't worry about them, because if you think about, oh, my God, so many people. Oh, my God. You know, don't do that. Just go, okay, Michelle, take a step. You're going to walk there. You see that makeup brush? That's what you want to get. So go to the makeup brush. And then if you start talking yourself through it, all those things fade away.
Yeah.
You can't think about two things at once. You just can't. So if you stop thinking about them and go, okay, I see that pink makeup brush. I'm going to walk over that because that's what I want to touch. I want to touch that makeup brush. So I'm going to walk over to that makeup brush and touch it. When you start doing that, you sound like a crazy person in your head with jabber, but they're gone.
Mm. It's like mantra-izing.
It is.
If that's the word. Like makeup.
Getting yourself through the steps to get there.
That's such good advice.
Yeah, works for some people, not everybody, but it's a great place to start.
You give good advice. That's just great advice that you've given me and the listeners.
Thank you.
How do you... give, because I watch your show.
Thank you.
I listen to your podcast and I visualize meeting you, and now I'm podcasting.
See, there you go.
Exactly. But because there's an emotional connection that comes off you through my headphones, through my TV, and you have this huge network of people, and even what do you say in the book? To all my children. That's the dedication in the front of the book. How do you give all of that, give out such warmth in a boundaried way?
To me, there's no greater gift in the world than giving. Receiving's lovely, but to me, again, I can't speak for everybody. Mm. For me, giving is the greatest gift. And what I have, since I'm not Warren Buffett and I don't have billions, the way I give is of myself. Mm-hmm. I was that kid, again, who was bullied and picked on and never felt like I had a place that I fit in. I would wear a Sid Vicious padlock around my neck. I had a blue mohawk when I was 13. Okay, I loved musical theater and the Sex Pistols simultaneously. It was the most bizarre thing. I was into the Buzzcocks and the Damned. Like, I loved punk rock. That's why I fell in love with England when I was 13 and came here for the first time. In another life, I was meant to be British. So for me, I fit in nowhere. People would make fun of me. Teachers would make fun of me. I wore the most bizarre clothing that I would get from my mother. That was my source of salvation, was my fashion. Mm. I was always a fashion setter. That's why I don't care if you like the way I dress or the way I look. I love it. And there's kids that love it. And those kids know that if I'm doing it, being a 40-something-year-old woman and doing it with conviction, then they can be 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17 and do it with conviction no matter what people say. Mm. I was so made fun of in school until I wasn't, because I didn't care. Mm. When they realized that they're bullying and making fun of me and pointing and laughing didn't bother me, where do you go from there? There's nowhere to go.
It's not a sport anymore if there's no reaction.
You're diffusing it.
Mm.
So it got to the point in high school, I was way more confident than I would have been like later in life, which is bizarre, because I got to a point where I really didn't care. And then I started to care again in my 30s when I started gaining weight and I had my babies and I felt like I'm known to be this really skinny, fit body girl. I was always a size 2 and fit. And then I gained 90 pounds with my first pregnancy. because I had thyroid disease and never had it before. Do you know what I mean? So all these things happened simultaneously while my mother died and I was pregnant with my first kid. Wow. Everything happened at once. Thyroid, mother, death, pregnant. So for me, it got to a point where I had nobody in my life that I could go to that was a mentor. My mother was amazing and loved me more than life itself and would have done anything for me and was always there to support me. When school called and said she can't wear these clothes to school anymore, my mother came in to meet with them and said, I bought all these clothes. She is doing nothing wrong. She's got no body parts showing. So what if they're bright colors? If you don't like them, deal with it. She's not taking them off. And she said that to the principal of school. And I was like, yeah, go Arlene. So she was always my biggest championer, you know? So for me, the way that I can give back is to help these kids in any way that I can. Mm-hmm. A lot of them have parents that don't understand them or that won't be there for them and won't champion them. A lot of them do. A lot of them are queer and their parents don't understand it. And the biggest thing I find is that parents don't understand their queer kids is because they want to blame themselves. Because no parent wants to have a child that's different or going to struggle. And the major issue comes from the parent worried that their gay kid is going to have a hard time in life. Mm-hmm. And the truth is, they are. But if you ask any gay kid, they didn't want to be born gay. It's not a choice. It's just the way that they were born. They're proud of who they are. But I bet you if they had a choice, they probably would have come back heterosexual. Or, you know, cisgender or heteronormative, whatever the situation is. Now, I'm not saying they're not proud of who they are. It's just more of a struggle. So for me, these kids need somebody that they can talk to and say, you know, I can say, listen, you're perfect just the way you are. Your mom might not understand you. Your daddy's not going to get it, but you do. And when you graduate and you're on your own and you're working, you're in this world and you're proud of who you are, you're going to look back and say, I understand and I forgive you, mom and dad. And when you're a parent one day, you're going to get it. Because you want the path of less resistance for your child. And parents just blame themselves. How did I make my kid gay? Why is my kid trans? What did I do? Did I fuck them up in utero? Was I a terrible parent? Who molested them? They think of things like that instead of saying, my beautiful child, you never asked to be created, but I'm going to love you no matter what. So if we can change the world that way, sometimes it just takes communication. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it just takes attention and love. If I can do that, then and the boundaries, I mean, I have boundaries. It is what it is. You're not getting past a certain point because I have to be present for my own children. I give and give and give of myself when I'm away from them or when I'm with them, you know? So there's an emotional close. It has to happen. I have to have my own space for my husband and my kids.
Speaking about the queers don't want to be gay. They wouldn't. I fucked that up completely. But
That they don't want to be gay. It's that if they had a choice in life, they probably wouldn't have chosen to be born gay. But some will. Some will say, hell yes, I would not change a thing. You know, it depends on the person.
And I was asking myself, why does RuPaul's Drag Race mean such a lot to me? Why do these queens mean so much to me? Because I was telling you before we started recording, I grew up in a tiny village, very green, in a very quiet part of England. And I
had... You're lucky.
And I didn't see a drag queen. I don't think I saw a gay person, but knowingly. For such a long time, why does it resonate? And I was trying to figure it out, and then I listened to the podcast. I think it was the one with Titus Burgess. And it was, I think Rue said, it shows the tenacity of the human spirit. And I thought, oh, that's very, very interesting. And I think what I wanted to find out from you was when you said about being at school and you were like, right, I know I'm being bullied, I'm going to wear whatever the hell I want. So many people, I think, would have just defaulted to what everyone else was wearing and gone into tribe culture to fit in.
British people would have, for sure.
But there's a tenacity to go, to have the presence of mind and the internal spirit, I think, to say, do you know what? I know that you don't like me. I know that you're making fun of me. But fuck you, I'm going to be who I am anyway.
I had no choice. It was the only... So what took me out of reality was musical theater and fashion. I was fashion obsessed. And it all started with Belinda Carlisle and the Go-Go's and the punk rock movement. Because I realized, oh my God, I can express myself through makeup and through clothing. And yes, it's going to turn heads. maybe subconsciously I did it for attention because boys didn't like me and nobody looked at me. And I had some friends, but not a lot. And then I met a girlfriend in middle school. I don't know what you call middle school here, like 6th, 7th, and 8th grade.
Junior school.
Yeah.
Junior school, yeah. Before you go to primary, before you go to secondary.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was between primary and secondary, so junior school. And I met a girl named Gia, and Gia was really into the same thing I was into. And that's what connected us. We had nothing in common. She's like really conservative, buttoned up, banker. But we had this love of the Go-Go's. And we used to draw, like get white Skippies, like Keds, and draw lightning bolts on them in different colors. Like, and wear these little mini skirts that flared. Like, I know I have pictures somewhere. I wish I had them. But we had this connection. And at that point, I realized I might look like a clown. Like, I look in the mirror and think I look really good. And I might look like a clown. But there's something that feels really right about this. And I remember the first time I dressed like that and went to school, it was such a change from what I had come from that everybody's like, look at you. And I was like, yeah, look at me. And every day I was more and more excited. And I would lay out my outfits the night before. So I would get up and I would do my hair and makeup every single day. And it really kicked in like 8th grade going on to then 9th grade start secondary school. But then I found my mother's black eyeliner. She had black eyeliner, liquid eyeliner, and a purple liner pencil. And I started playing with it in the mirror, probably when I was about 13 years old. And that's why black eyeliner means so much to me. It's the first thing I ever played with. And that's why I'm so good at it. And so, like, no makeup artist can do my liner. I do it alone. Like, they literally hand me the liner. I don't use gel. I don't use felt. I only use liquid. And I'm a pro at it because I started at 13. I would come home from school every day and practice. And then I'd put the purple liner on the waterline. And my mother goes, oh, my God, your makeup looks beautiful. And she never knew how to do it. So that's how I started. I remember Cyndi Lauper, in time after time, I think, had this checkerboard.
The buzz cut.
Yeah, the buzz cut on the side of her head. I did that to my own hair. And I came out of the bathroom. I was like, what the fuck did you do? With scissors and a razor. Like a razor, shave your legs.
That's tough.
So I cut it off in this patch, and then I took the razor and like shaved the checkerboard. Yeah. And my mother, that's when the mohawk came after that, because my mother was like, oh, we're getting this fixed. And I was like, I want a mohawk.
So getting it fixed, just getting a
getting mohawk. The mohawk, because at least it evened it up both sides, and I was obsessed with Bananarama, so then I would tease it up and do all that.
Bananarama, who are reforming?
I'm beside myself. It's in my notes to talk to Rue about. Because I have to tell him about the time that I brought the album cover in to the hair salon to get done. You'll hear about it. It's hilarious. But my mother, again, was part of it. My mother was my biggest champion. And when we came here, Carnaby Street used to be a market. Mm-hmm. This is way before your times. And it was the best market. Forget about Spitalfields. Forget about Portobello. Carnaby Street was the shit because it was like a flea market. Stall after stall after stall of good stuff. Not expensive stuff.
Good stuff that you couldn't find anywhere else. Like, it was a certain person who went to Carnaby
That's
Street.
That's it. Right? Punk rock. It was very punk rock. Mm. So I came home with so much shit for no money. So I remember all the kids being so jealous of me because it was between 8th grade and 9th grade. Mm. So it would be going from junior to secondary. And when I came back, I was a new woman. New wardrobe, fully punked out. I looked so good. I had lost like 20 pounds because I had gone from chubby little girl to becoming a woman. And that's where like my journey really began. That bullying, chubby, awkward girl was gone. And this really confident, really fashion forward punk rock chick had been born, who was very much in my own skin and very much my own voice. And I sang in a rock band, won the Battle of the Bands that year. Like, it became a really big deal. And I have gone through, which is why I wrote about it and why I'm there for these kids. I lived through that, all of it. So when the kids would pick on the girls in school and they'd bully them, I would always talk to that girl. I felt like it wasn't right. And one of the girls that was bullied the most in our high school, the class president who I'm friends with, said that he invited her. We recently had our 30-year reunion. I didn't go, but he said that he invited her and because he's in touch with her. I was like, you are? That's like this girl was, you have no idea how abused. You have no idea. She was it. The one that everybody picked on, threw stuff at her, like tragic. And when you saw her, she was the quintessential, like everything you see in the movies was her. Never washed her hair, walked down the halls with her books tight, wore like Amish looking clothing, never looked people in the eye. It like breaks my heart thinking about it. And she said, why what she's married now, has her family, does well. Why would I come back to that? That was hell I don't want to relive. And I was like, good for you. Good for you for not doing it, because it's following. British people tend to not want to hurt anybody, and they tend to want to please. So they would follow the say, oh my God, I'm so sorry, I'll take it off. Mm-hmm. American are a bit more tenacious, right, and sassy and mouthy, and not in a good way. But there are some benefits to being like that. And my mother was like that. There's a Jewish woman from Brooklyn. And they called her in, and I was there with her. And she said, I was wearing this particular day. It was a white baggy jumpsuit, top to bottom, white. It had neon paint splattered all over it. It was sleeveless. And I had a little short belly top under it that was neon pink. Baggy, not tight. And you couldn't see any skin. But it was from a place called Unique in New York City, which was expensive and amazing. It doesn't exist anymore. It's back in the 80s. And I had neon jelly shoes on and a neon pink bag. And they said that I needed therapy because I needed too much attention, and they weren't going to let me back into school unless I got therapy. So I got the therapy. I didn't change. My mother said, she's not changing her clothes. We'll get the therapy. Otherwise they weren't going to let me back in. And the therapist, it was like three sessions, and they sent a letter and said, there's nothing wrong with this girl. She did not need attention. She's a theater kid. Mm. This is what we do. Everything is big. It was always like that. And I loved attention, and I still love attention, but I want attention to be for the right thing.
Mm.
And I think the school felt it was going to be for the wrong thing.
After that trip to London where you bought all your
13 years old clothes, yes.
Was that when you began to find your tribe? Because the tribe concept
is fantastic. So yes, of course. I was the leader of my own tribe in school, obviously. Now, when I came here, I met a punk rock boy named Simon Egan, and he lived in Stratford-upon-the-Avon, and we went there because of my obsession with Shakespeare. Again, I was a theater kid. And my parents, we came here for 3 weeks. They saved money forever for this trip. We didn't have computers, so everything was done through a travel agency. We stayed in bed and breakfast along the countryside. Brutal. Bathrooms down the hall.
Mm-hmm.
Steak au poivre, every night. We had I know you call it eggy bread? Toast with eggs cooked in the middle of it?
I've never had it, but heard of it.
Just, like nothing I'd ever eat. Everything was meat. I never liked meat as a kid either. Never liked it. So it was torture. And then we got to Stratford. And then I saw Simon. And Simon was one of those punk rock kids that had the hair out to here, Sex Pistols t-shirt, ripped jeans, combat boots, spikes everywhere, spikes in his ears. And I saw him across the green, and I was like, I'm in love. I'm so in love. And this is manifestation. This is the power of now. I somehow got to him and met him and hung out with him. And my brother was like, what are you doing? And my younger brother, they wanted to go see castles. I was done with castles. I'd seen two. Done. Saw Edinburgh Castle. That was beautiful. Done. I'm done. I need to shop. So my parents took me to Carnaby Street, went to King's Road, and then we went on to this beautiful countryside. I said, I want to shop in Stratford. And they're like, not much here. So I remember buying a pack of cigarettes that had colors and a gold filter. And I was sneaking in the bathroom. Like, I had to sneak because I didn't know I smoked. And I met Simon and his friend. My parents were like, we're going to go back to the hotel. Are you going to be okay here? They left me with this fucking stranger on the green, but it was a big park. They said, do not leave this area. I was like, fine. So my dad and my mom come down later, and they're taking pictures of us because these guys were freaks. I loved it. I had on my Sex Pistols t-shirt and a little mini skirt that I had gotten on Carnaby Street with fishnet stockings. Like, I have a picture of it with the spiked belts. And my grown-out blue mohawk, it was still blue. And I remember my dad was taking pictures of us. And some car drives by. He's like, why are you taking a picture of Stratford's lowlife? My dad turns around. He's like, that lowlife's my daughter. but it was a moment of, we're always going to be judged by what we look like. So we need to do it and do it with conviction. That's why I love nothing more when I see a big girl, a girl of size, wearing white stretch pants with like either a thong or no underwear under it, cellulite. Like, it makes me so happy. Because that woman is in her power. Should she be wearing it? Well, according to the real world, probably not. Or like when people wear belly shirts with their dough belly hanging. I love it. It makes me so happy that somebody loving themselves in every curve and every... So what if they're overweight? They're living in the now.
Yeah.
This is what works for them now. I don't know if it's the healthiest way to be for us to be overweight. Probably not. Well, actually, we know it's not. But if you're loving who you are in the moment and not condemning yourself, because then losing that 3 stone might not ever happen. So, you know, when I tell people that are embarking on a weight loss journey, and that could be part of your visualization, start with 5 pounds at a time. And even my doctor said, when you look at that 50, it's daunting and you're going to stop. But if you say 5 pounds in the next month, you can do that. Mm. You can do it by cutting out soda. You could do it by cutting out butter. Little things can change everything. You could do it by walking to work one way. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So there's ways that you can do it without overwhelming. So when I see people that are in their power, wearing and being who they are, whether the real world thinks that we should or should not be like that, it makes me so happy. That's why when I did All Stars 1, I went full drag through the whole series, because I felt like I wanted these little girls to know that they're allowed to be that person. They're allowed to be that way.
Mm.
Why aren't they? You know, if I can do it, being a woman of a certain age and loving it and owning it and not looking back, why can't they? So that's, you know, that's what that story is.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
And we're at the end of our time together, Michelle.
Oh my God, I had so much fun.
Break my heart. And a huge thank you for being on the show. I had an absolute ball talking to Michelle. I hope you enjoyed listening to the show. If you did, please do head over to iTunes. Please click that star rating and leave a review. And obviously, don't forget to subscribe. If you want to get in touch with me, you can email me. Just go to emmagums.com, click the little envelope in the menu bar, and that message comes directly to my inbox. And if you want to tell me whether you enjoyed the show, tweet me at emmagums, and don't forget to go and follow me over on emmagums at Instagram, because that's where you're going to find details for the competition to win those Michelle Visage for Illamasqua lashes. Thank you so much for listening. There's another awesome guest coming up next time, and I hope that you will join me then.